Wrestling Podcast with the Enforcer.
I believe you're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
Back this week with another episode of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, February the 23rd. The Enforcer, here to my right, the Stallion. What do we got for this week, buddy?
What do we got? We got news that we are once again brought to you by the Damage 365 Radio Network.
This is former WWE superstar Damian Sandow, now known as Aaron Stevens, and you're listening to Damage 365 Radio. Keep it tuned. You're welcome.
Before we get into anything, can I just tell you, it always surprises me that he's got such a southern accent. I mean, I think we're not supposed to talk about like the drops we play and stuff like that. Isn't that kind of a thing?
I don't know. On this show, I think anything's
fine. Yeah, we suck, so we can just say whatever we want, but I never knew Sandow had such a deep southern accent. I think he's from this weird place called Jersey.
Oh.
All I know about Jersey is they have a hockey team. And they suck.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, as Joe said, we are back with another episode of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. This week we're going to touch on Raw. We're going to touch on SmackDown. We have another installment of everybody's favorite segment, The Five Count. And we're going to talk about Ring of Honor leading up to, Honor Rising, the co-branded Ring of Honor New Japan show. Tomorrow night, I never know what the hell time it is in Japan. It could be July for all I know right now. So Honor Rising is this week. And then after that, we're going to have Manhattan Mayhem, which you and I will be at.
That's
and
true.
Then we're going to have the anniversary show. So lots of big... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we're actually going to talk about ROH this week. I know sometimes we say we're going to talk about it, and then we run out of time.
Yeah, because we just spent so much time talking about Raw and SmackDown, which this week I don't think we're going to have to do because nothing really of note happened on those two big shows. So, well, I mean, without further ado, let's start. You want to start with Ring of Honor? Is that the move?
Sure.
Let's start with Ring of Honor, so that way we don't not get the Ring of Honor. Okay.
Okay.
Let's do that. So, Ring of Honor has, they've got some big cards coming up, and the Manhattan Mayhem show is the 4th?
The 4th.
It's the 4th. Now, They've only announced a couple of matches for that show because I feel like they're waiting to see what plays out at Honor Rising tomorrow night and the night after.
Okay.
Because it seems like there's a lot of big names not announced for Manhattan Mayhem, but without matches. So this week on Ring of Honor TV, it wasn't the best Ring of Honor episode I've seen in my life, I'll be honest with you. But there was a lot of storyline, and there was a great main event. So first match of the night was Silas Young and Bull James with the Beer City Bruiser at ringside. I love Silas Young's gimmick, but Bull James and the Beer City Bruiser really do nothing for me. I'm never one to knock a wrestler's talent or stuff like that, but Bull James, he's...
He stinks.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I didn't mean to jump on it.
No.
That's
no,
my bad. That's my bad.
No, sorry. He's shooting. You're shooting on him. You want to shoot, cowboy? Go ahead. No, I don't particularly care for Bull James. I didn't really care for him when he was in Ring of Honor. I'm sorry, when he was in NXT. Now that he's in Ring of Honor.
Oh my god, who the hell cares?
They had the thing where he was supposed to join up with Silas and Beer City, and they brought him out to be a tag team partner in the six-man tag tournament, and then they turned on him immediately. So I think they were trying to get some babyface heat for Bull James, and it did not work. So
why do you think they brought in Bull James? I mean, I know he's got like a little bit of a name, I guess, just from being in NXT, like you said, and he's a somewhat local guy from like the East Coast. Yeah. I know, like, he's done some stuff. We've seen him at like NYWC or the arena out here in Deer Park, and I know he was at some Evolve shows. I don't think he wrestled at that, but so I know he's kind of like in this area. Do you think that's why they brought him in? Because like they're, I don't know what the reason is. Because like you said, I don't think he's like a very skilled in-ring guy. Nor does he have like this great like gimmick or personality. Like he's just Bull James. So I don't know.
Like, he wears like a fur Vader kind of like esque costume. I don't know what it is about him. He did go to Taz's finishing school. He's a local guy. I feel like he never really clicked with anybody. I think his best gimmick was when he first debuted at NXT, and he was kind of that badass, like almost like a big bully Busick kind of thing, you know, like where he's kind of a bully, you know, which was a good gimmick for him. But then he turned face and he did a bunch of lame gimmicky stuff. And for Ring of Honor to sign him, I don't know. I wonder if it's just because he's local. I wonder if that has such a, you know, and the NXT stigma. It's, you know, we do give, we cut Ring of Honor a lot of slack, but I feel like lately we've been pretty critical of them because of their questionable booking decisions. But when you really sit down and think about it, it's got to be really tough to book the Ring of Honor considering these guys are leaving so frequently. That's why the WWE has such free range with them, because you're not going to go anywhere from WWE. From Ring of Honor, you know, you obviously the natural progression is indie scene, Ring of Honor, WWE. And you can't book a super duper long term feud or story if these guys aren't locked up in guaranteed contracts, which is, I think, what's going on right now with Adam Cole. It happened with Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly dropped the title to Adam Cole in Japan at Wrestle Kingdom, and he's nowhere to be found right now. He wrestled for, I think it was CFFC in Canada. Forgive me, I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up real quick. We don't have a producer to do that, so that's all on us, but. It's late. I'm kind of sleepy, so I don't want to go into that. But, you know, Adam Cole, the thing I will say about Ring of Honor, not to go too off track here, is Adam Cole has a title defense against Bobby Fish coming up at Manhattan Mayhem. He's got a title defense against Yoshihashi in New Japan. And he's also got a title defense against the winner of the Decade of Excellence tournament finals at WrestleMania weekend.
Well, that's at the anniversary show.
That's the anniversary show. I'm sorry. So, now, the thing is, Adam Cole being their champion is involved in three different feuds, which is good and bad. But the thing that I like about Ring of Honor is they say Adam Cole will defend the title against whoever at the anniversary show if he is still the champion. Ring of Honor has done that before where they will schedule a match, and then by that point, the champion is no longer the champion, and they will alter that match, make it a three-way or a four-way or something along those lines. So I do like that consistency in the booking where it says if he's still the champion by then, and there's a chance he might not be. So just because Adam Cole has three title defenses lined up does not mean he's guaranteed to win the first two matches, whereas if you see it on WWE TV, you know, so-and-so, if Kevin Owens is going to defend his, you know, Universal title at a pay-per-view, he's going to keep that belt to the pay-per-view. So the matches in between, they're not meaningless, but the title matches, there's a pretty good shot of him not dropping the title.
Yeah, I think just to go back to the whole, like, how they book angles and stuff in Ring of Honor, like, yeah, I guess it's the talent management portion of it for them, right? Like, you, for whatever reasons, like you said, the appeal, I guess, for some of these guys with the next step is for them to go to NXT or WWE, which obviously makes sense, so. But they don't have a lot of these guys locked up in contracts, so then that prohibits them from running like an extended, you know, angle or plan for maybe one of the titles or whatever it is. So I know that that's a challenge. But I also was thinking about it recently, and I was just looking at some of the storylines, I guess, that are going on in ROH. Like if you just look at the next pay-per-view, let's say, where you think a lot of the storylines would culminate. And they've got the Christopher Daniels story, which is basically him trying to win the ROH title because he's never won it before. And, but outside of that, I can't think of any other, like, significant storylines that they have that have
Cody been going Rhodes, on for a while. Cody Rhodes and Jay Lethal?
I don't even really count that as a storyline. Like, he came in and he debuted against him in his first match. And, like, then they kind of, he turned on him, like, right away and joined the Bullet Club, like, I don't know. That's kind of a storyline, I guess. But I think they just threw a match on the. It's not even on the pay per view. I think right? It's a Super Card of Honor weekend, which is the WrestleMania weekend show, where it's. I think he's doing like a bull rope match with Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
Like they just. So, but they haven't really built a lot of that up on TV. Like, they have the Cabana and Castle thing that's been going on, like, on and off for a little while.
Cannot begin to care about that.
But, like, the tag titles of the Young Bucks, like, their feud is against the Hardys, which, and they're not even in the promotion. And that whole storyline is really a Hardys storyline, in my opinion, right? They're trying to win all these different tag titles. The TV title doesn't have a storyline. It's just Marty Scurll. It seems like most of these matches are set up by the champions getting pinned in non-title matches or tag matches, and then they get shots. That's why all these guys have chances with against Adam Cole, right? Because Bobby Fish beat him in a tag match.
So well, he gets Bobby Fish won the...
And he gets Survival of the Fittest,
yeah, right? He won Survival of the Fittest.
But he also beat him in a tag match, so like that gave him like some more, I guess, you know, opportunity to get a title shot. That the guy from Japan now has a title shot against Adam Cole because he beat Adam Cole in a match in Japan. So like all these guys... and like same thing with Marty Scurll, like he's facing Lio Rush, I think, at the pay-per-view, and Lio Rush beat him in a match like a couple weeks ago. So like that's just that's the only way that they seem to be booking feuds right now. I wish that there were more storylines built around like the mid-card and all the titles, and it's sometimes they just seem to be a little complacent with, oh, we're just gonna put this match out there, we know it's gonna be good, and that's okay. Which is fine in some aspects, but sometimes I'd prefer to have like a much long simmering feud and storyline, so the matches mean a little bit more. But maybe they are handcuffed by the talent situation. I don't know how.
I feel like when they had their build up to Jay Lethal and Jay Briscoe, like that was a fantastic program.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole, amazing program. You know, those they told stories and it made sense. I definitely agree with what you're saying up until this point. Looking at the card, Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice. You know, so
this is a pay-per-view?
This is a pay-per-view, yeah.
So that's basically like... I know they've been having a feud in Japan, right? In some aspects, right?
Yeah.
So...
Six-man tag title, Dalton Castle and the Boys versus The Kingdom. Yeah. And then top contenders match, it's Jay Lethal versus the loser of Adam Cole or Bobby Fish.
So basically it'll be... But most likely it'll be Lethal versus Bobby Fish in a number one contenders match. And then...
There's a lot of that doesn't make sense. I understand Bobby Fish, you know, they had a good storyline there where he won the Survival of the Fittest and it was going to be him versus either Kyle O'Reilly or Adam Cole. And I do like what they're doing with Jay Lethal and Cody Rhodes. It is drawn out a little bit and they don't have much interaction, but they had the tag match last week. It's tough because, like, you know, there was a program with Carino and Lethal. And then Carino's gone the next day. Kevin Sullivan, I just heard, signed at TNA. Did you see that?
That's a different Kevin Sullivan. Not Kevin Sullivan, the wrestler.
Who's Kevin Sullivan?
Kevin Sullivan's like a TV producer or something.
Oh, the writer Kevin Sullivan. Yeah. But speaking of Kevin Sullivan, you have Punisher Martinez in Japan. Hmm. And you never got the blow-off to the Kevin Sullivan... you did. You kind of got the blow-off to the Kevin Sullivan, Steve Carino, BJ Whitmer feud in the match. But then there was no, like, finality, and then Carino was, like, in the middle of turning or something like that, and then he's gone. You don't see Whitmer on TV, which I have no problem with, and you don't see really Punisher Martinez on TV too much. And then you have 3 weeks of TV where it's all Marty Scurll, and then you don't see Marty Scurll on TV. So it's tough to book long-term when you, like, the TV shows aren't necessarily making sense.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, but I think they could still be doing a better job with it. Like, if you have, you know, you have Skrull and Ospreay and guys like that under contract, so there's no reason why you can't book feuds for those guys, whether it's against each other or separately, or you know what I mean. Like, I'm excited for when we go to Manhattan Mayhem and it's Will Ospreay against Dragon Lee, but there's no like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's like almost like a glorified house show, so I really can't complain about that.
Well, it's one of their their VOD shows. And not for nothing, with Ring of Honor, a lot of their VOD shows, they do have title changes and, like, impactful matches.
Yeah, they do sometimes.
So it's a little bit different than going to a WWE house show, but I guess we kind of got off on a tangent here. The next match, we were talking about this, like, Colt Cabana against the Boys. It's whatever. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Dalton Castle as much as I want to be. I know he's very over, and I'm not a big fan of Colt Cabana either. I don't know. Are you a big Colt Cabana guy?
No. Yeah, I'm not either. I didn't really. You know, he came back, I think, last year to Ring of Honor, and like he immediately got put into the title match with Jay Lethal.
Oh yeah, he wrestled Jay Lethal, right?
Which is like, and that's when I think that was the match where Cole ended up joining the Bullet Club at the end.
It came out in the Super Kicks on Super Kicks on Super Kicks. Yeah.
So like, nothing against Cabana. It's just like, I don't.
he does.
He's not a big enough name to just come in and automatically get a title shot.
He might be for your diehards that have been watching for the last 16 years, 17 years, but the main story behind this show was the Finals of the Decade of Excellence tournament. I love the thought process behind it. Of the actual tournament itself, you had guys like Jushin Thunder Liger, Christopher Daniels, Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, Jay Lethal. I can't even remember who else was in the tournament, but
BJ Whitmer.
I left him out on purpose. I did enjoy watching him eat a J-Driller, though.
Chris Sabin.
Chris Sabin, yeah. Anybody else? Who else? Cabana.
What's Cabana? I think oh, you know who was in it? Liger.
Yeah, said Liger.
You said Liger? Yeah. Okay.
I said Jushin Thunder Liger, oh, so I might turn things off. So anyway, Christopher Daniels versus Jay Briscoe was the main event, and it got plenty of time. It went about 18, 19 minutes, and I thought they had a great match. Christopher Daniels, for his age, he's damn near 50. He's up there. He looks as crisp in the ring as he ever has. He's a veteran. They told a really good story, and kind of leading up the final battle, Christopher Daniels was questioning his role, in the business, and they had a good story with that. Now to see him get a clean win over Jay Briscoe, I thought it was a great match. And Mark Briscoe was on commentary, and Frankie Kazarian was on commentary, and they both left the commentary mid-match to go be with each guy at the ring. And then after the match, Christopher Daniels hit the Pepsi Plunge, aka the glorified Angel's Wings off the top rope, and Jay Briscoe, for a guy that hadn't lost in like 2 years, he's been putting some people over lately, and that's, but two faces get up and they shake hands and they call it a day, and Christopher Daniels is going to get his match with Adam Cole at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, they've been building for this for a while, so I think, or a little while anyway, so.
Or is this because it was taped 4.5 months ago?
Yeah, I guess maybe it feels that way. So we'll see. I don't know, what they're going to do with that. I think it's certainly a possibility that they pull the trigger on it. And he wins, especially with Cole's contract situation. So we'll see. I mean, that pay-per-view is only a couple weeks away. And they booked some more angles, I think, at shows that were taped. So I don't want to give all that stuff away now.
I don't read the spoilers, buddy.
I don't want to get into all that. But, we'll just see how it all plays out in the end. I have a theory on it, but I guess maybe when we do a prediction show for the pay-per-view, I'll get into it more at that point.
Yeah, but can it not be something that you read? I want to...
You know the spoiler I was going to bring up, so you already read it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I honestly, a complete straight shoot, I forgot everything I read.
Okay.
So
I won't repeat it then.
until
the day before the pay-per-view to ruin everything for you.
Okay, so again, a one match show, and Bobby Fish did cut a very good promo. I love Bobby Fish. I always thought he was, I don't want to say questionable on the mic. He was good on the mic, but this promo really, it was a quick, short thing. He was talking about how about his match with Adam Cole, and he sold himself really well. And I'm looking forward to that match. I'm excited to see Bobby Fish get a main event match. So. All right, I feel good that we talked about Ring of Honor. I feel like it wasn't. I love
Ring of Honor. Get that off our chest.
Yeah. So you want to work? Wow, oh, I see what you're doing here. Now we're going to SmackDown. So we're working backwards.
Oh, we can do that.
No. Let's talk about Raw last, because I feel like Raw was the weakest show out of all of them.
Okay.
So I spend the most time on it. Oh, spoiler alert! Raw was the weakest show. Damn it! Before we get to SmackDown, I want to remind you that we are brought to you by the Damage 365 Radio Network.
This is Lanny Poffo, formerly the genius full of glory and renown. You are listening to Damage 365 Radio.
And we are back with the SmackDown report. Why don't you kick off SmackDown and tell me, did you get fucklemped?
This is about Naomi?
Yeah.
No.
You used to have emotions and feelings.
I don't anymore.
Where'd they go?
I don't know.
All right.
You know what I like doing now?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Handstands. I'm a big fan of that. The headstands, like, I don't know, people like those Instagram shots of themselves. That's my thing. I do that a lot now. I think it's good for, like, my inner chi. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. Is that, like, a yoga term?
What does that mean?
I'm gonna be that guy. Can we get that up on our Instagram for crying out loud? Just me doing headstands all over the place.
Sure.
Yeah. Should I take offense to that?
I'm. Breaking news.
Cool guy here, Mr. Sexy Pants.
Oh, and his fancy drops that he plays every 2 seconds now. I see how it is. Well, king of the drops, bro. Can we talk about SmackDown? I don't feel the glow, all right? I'm going to get back to that.
I'm not a big fan of the glow. Nope, I'm not done. I'm so angry at the whole headstand thing. Cause why? Frankly, what personally me...
Why do you hate my development as a person, as a human? I don't understand why that offends you.
Why don't you tell me what your mantra is?
I don't know what a mantra is.
Oh, look at this guy over here. Mr. I'm aligning my chi with the sun. Doesn't know what a mantra is? No. You know what? Actually, I'll go Facebook Live. Why don't you do a headstand right now?
You want me to do a headstand?
I want you to do a headstand right now. I'll go Facebook. I will Facebook Live the shit out of this.
That's okay. Fine.
All right. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what we could do? We could do Facebook Live at the engagement party on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Stay tuned to the Facebook Live.
That stuff's not going to be PG, my friend.
No. You know what? I'm almost cutting a promo right now about things that are not PG. Very, very tight. Very tight. What a low blow.
What was it?
Unbelievable. This guy.
There was no low blows at all. I don't understand the...
Tell me more about Naomi.
I told you, I'm not a fan of the glow, my friend. I'm not interested. I didn't want her to win the title at Elimination Chamber, which she did.
Is it because you didn't want Alexa Bliss to lose because of her personal problems that she came out with today?
She had personal problems she came out with?
She was anorexic.
I knew.
Okay, and she was just talking today about how she beat anorexia.
Yes, I think I had heard that. I don't know if I heard it or read it somewhere and went in her bio or something like that. Yeah, she used to have an issue with that. And I think she was also like a fitness...
She was a fitness model.
Yeah, like she did some... I think she even did like some competitions, if I'm not mistaken. And
did she compete in the handstand division?
I don't know. I didn't read up on that, so I don't know who the winners of that are, so...
There's a couple options there.
We probably should have Facebook Live this podcast. Everyone could have seen I just got double flipped off.
He did. He got the finger. So Alexa Bliss came out after Naomi handed the title over. I don't even think she's going to be out that long, but I know she's not going to be out for Mania. That brought out Becky Lynch. Didn't really make too much sense considering Becky Lynch just lost to Mickie James the week before. But I whatever. They had a pretty decent match. Alexa Bliss won with the heel. What was it, a poke to the eye? It was the Mr. Fuji throat thrust and then a roll up.
Right.
When the referee wasn't looking. Is that illegal? A throat thrust?
I don't think that's illegal. I think she did hold her tights at the end when she was pinning her, but.
It's a corset.
Pardon me. Yeah.
I'm figuring when you're aligning your chi, you can maybe, you know, grab a dictionary and look up corset.
I don't know why you're against me advancing my,
I'll give you something to advance. Anyway, here we are. So Alexa Bliss is now your champion, which is kind of weird because I really thought they're going to put it on Becky Lynch considering you had the face just win it, you know, and she can't compete, so it'd go to another face. But I don't know if they're going to do... a Alexa Bliss Mickie James program? Is it too early to have her turn on her?
I think it's too early.
Which means...
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they won't do something like that.
Yeah. And as for Becky Lynch, I mean, she's losing a lot. You know, she was your first SmackDown Women's Champ. She was like picked third or fourth in the draft, if anybody remembers the draft. And now she's kind of jobbing back to back to back. So we'll see what happens going forward. But the match is pretty decent. I have no issues with it.
Yeah, it was okay. Nothing special. What else we got here? So they had a non-title match for American Alpha against Breezango.
For Breeze.
Didn't even go 3 minutes. And then
it was a squash match for the champs, which is fine. But I think the bulk of that was for the post-match segment with the Uso. And Jay's awfully high voice. Oos! That's kind of what he sounded like when he's talking.
But is that helium? Is that
You know, I thought it was, did you like the promo? I thought it was a good promo.
Yeah, I thought it was a good promo.
It was something a little bit different. They came out looking like 1992-1993 Ice Tea with Body Count.
Straight up gangsta rap.
Yeah. There's no R in that. Gangsta. Yeah.
Like it's almost Gangsta's like, Paradise.
Yeah. No, I thought it was like Amish Paradise.
Coolio.
It's almost like gangsta rap is one word. Gangsta rap. I'll go home and I'll watch Straight Outta Compton and I'll brush up on my lingo. But this seems to be like a more natural kind of gimmick for those guys, because they're young dudes, younger than me. I suck. And they're more, you know, hip, I guess the kids say. So instead of being these over-the-top baby faces who look like Rikishi's kids, they kind of dress like themselves and they kind of are who they are. So I think it's a good gimmick for them. But the thing is, how many times have we seen American Alpha and the Usos? I mean, this is going to be... I don't know if that's going to be the Mania match, but...
I don't know. I mean, certainly building to that. I don't know if they're going to include any other tag teams in the mix, but right now it seems like the focus is just on these two teams.
Yeah, and there's nobody... But, like, the focus is on these two teams, and there's nobody is in third place, you know?
Yeah.
There's... Unless you got Breezango, but I don't know. Next, it was the Falls Count Anywhere blow-off match between Natty and Nikki Bella. I really enjoyed this match. What did you think?
I thought it was good.
But...
Yeah,
I have a huge issue with it.
I had it. You go first. So my problem was... Like, I'm all for them doing, like... obviously, it's Falls Count Anywhere, so you can use weapons and do things like that. The one I didn't really like at all was... They fought backstage, and Nikki threw Natty basically into a mirror face first. So I get that it's PG, and you can't.
You gotta show some blood.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't have your face go through a mirror and not bleed. Like, I'm pretty sure that's a special superhero skill or something like that. If that happens, that you just don't bleed on anything like that.
Why don't we test it on Saturday? Why don't you crack me in the face with a mirror and see?
All right, we'll think about it. All right. But that's part of it, I guess. It's like, it just, you use something like that, there should be some sort of cuts or something like that. And then A. And then B, she pins her right after and kicks out at two. So your face went through a mirror and you kicked out at two, and like, you just kind of kept fighting after that. I felt like that was a little bit of a stretch. I understand sometimes they do things like that where they do these kind of weapon spots and they don't want it to be the finish of the match, so they have the person kick out. But that's a little extensive. If you threw her face first through a mirror, she should be cut up and dead for like 5 minutes.
And I think it's also on the announcers to sell it a lot more than they did, instead of just... Moro said something. I forget what he said. Something about like bad luck or something.
Something
like
about Mamma Mia, probably.
Yeah. Mamma Mia! That's her next drop, by the way. But I feel like if you're going to throw somebody through a mirror, like, you have to sell that. Like I threw you face first into a mirror, you know?
Yeah.
But
so that was my one issue. I don't know if that was...
No, my issue was with Maryse, who got drawn into the match. I think Natty threw Nikki into Maryse, setting up the eventual, which we had talked about, John Cena and Nikki versus Maryse and The Miz. Whatever the hell Maryse came out with at the end of the match to, quote-unquote, beat down Nikki with, it was the size of a water bottle, and it was... even like equally as flimsy. I thought that was terrible. That looked atrocious. These two women, Natty and Nikki, just beat the hell out of each other for 15 minutes, and Maryse comes out with a toilet paper roll and hits Nikki like two times, and she gets the pin. I thought that was super duper weak, and I have zero faith in Maryse being able to put on a remotely decent match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she was okay. I don't really remember her that well as a wrestler back when she first had her, you know, her run, but I don't know. I guess she wasn't really... I mean, the women's division was very different at that time, right? So I don't know how she like kind of fell as far as her skill was concerned. But I'm
sure they'll... It was all boobies back then.
I think she'll be all right. They'll be all right. Those four, they'll put on an entertaining, I think, match if it's Cena and Nikki against Miz and Maryse. I think they'll at least be... There'll be some heat for it, right? Because I think fans want to see... You know, people don't like Miz and people do like Nikki. And I don't know. I think in that... You know, in that setting, Cena will probably be more over as a face than he normally would be. But I mean, you know, it's a
mixed. I think they're probably going to turn completely on them, and they're going to cheer the Miz. That's my prediction.
I think they'll be pro Nikki. That's my thought. But we'll see. We got some time to figure that all out.
And the main event of the night was the battle royal for the chance to wrestle Bray at WrestleMania as number one contender. Interesting choice of people in the Battle Royal, because I saw Apollo Crews. I'm sorry, who? Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed, yeah.
Apollo Creed, yep. Who hasn't won a match in God knows how long.
Made in America.
Kalisto was in the match. Dolph Ziggler was in the match. And
Mojo was in the match.
Moho, so. I think. I think the J is
silent. Okay.
Like in Yogging.
Yes.
Yeah. You knew those guys weren't going to win. Those were throwaway. I think there was other people that could have been in the match. But... It was okay for what it was. You had the... I guess the most important things from the match were, A, the horribly botched finish. Who I don't know who booked that, like that particular way those guys are going to go out, but I guess we can get to that. But before that, Cena had eliminated The Miz. The ref wasn't looking. They were looking at something else, and Miz came back and eliminated Cena. So there's your, you know, John Cena versus The Miz feud. But as far as that spot, the finishing spot, they could not have done that more awkwardly if they tried. They were better off doing a double clothesline over the ropes. Or they had so many spots where they were both on the apron. There was a much easier way to do it than have AJ Styles, who was like, might be an actual foot shorter than Luke Harper, suplexed over. And what planet do you think Luke Harper's legs are going to hit the same time as AJ's?
Yeah, it was a curious spot. And I think it's just proven out by the fact that they never showed a replay of it on TV, right? So they probably knew right away. Obviously, they saw it and they were like, oh, we probably can't show that. So like, it's clearly obvious that I think Styles hit first.
Is the idea that's why Styles is going to get so pissed at Shane to set up that match, because Styles can be like, oh, it was clear. I don't know.
Maybe. But the other thing I guess is interesting, just thinking back, right? Like when Miz and Cena wrestled at WrestleMania 27, I think that was set up almost the exact same way. I remember they had the Rumble that year. That was 2011. And Del Rio won. That was the 40-man Rumble, which was a huge mistake, obviously. But Miz was doing commentary, I think, because he was a WWE champion. And he got into the Rumble match and eliminated Cena from this. So he wasn't even in the match. And he eliminated Cena. And in this match, he was at least in the Battle Royal, but he was eliminated, so he wasn't even in the match anymore. And then he got back in and eliminated Cena. And even Cena was like, is that legal? Like, you hear him asking the referee, is that okay? And it's like, I don't understand how it is.
And then the commentators had to sell... I forget what they said. They said, well, it's a no DQ match, so anything goes. It's like, but there needs to be some sort of red tape, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was interesting. But I guess, I think the only, one good thing, I guess, about it is that the last two guys that they had, Styles and Harper, were the only two guys I thought could like feasibly win it. So at least when that was happening, like when they were, you know, kind of battling at the end, I was unsure who would actually win, because I could have seen either guy winning. So which was good. It wasn't
you like, actually brought it to the finish.
Yeah, like I wasn't sure. Like I thought, like if I was gonna pick it, I would have said Harper was gonna win. But you know, I could also see Styles winning and then doing some sort of storyline based around that. So I really wasn't sure who was gonna win. So it was that part was interesting to me. And now with the draw finish that they came up with, I think they're facing each other on SmackDown next week, right?
Yeah.
And the winner will get Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania.
Yep.
So,
can I just fantasy book what they could have done to finish this match?
Sure.
Harper and Styles are on the apron, fighting for the last spot. Lights go out. Bray's thing hits. Not even 2-3 seconds. They're both on the ground. That way, you don't got to worry about your double botch finish. You don't got to worry about the timing being perfect, and you could tie it into, why did they do that? Is Bray trying to wrestle one guy over the other? That's just my booking. I just came up with that on the fly.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't have been bad. Or if, like, especially if they did that, or if, like, Orton was in the ring or something, and then the other two were on the floor, and you could have feasibly said that he eliminated them both or whatever, and, like, as, I don't know, something along those lines, that, like, that would have been fine.
Anything would have been better than a 6'8" and a 5'9" guy trying to time it over the turnbuckle. Like, out of all places, it's like... Anyway, what did you think of SmackDown?
Probably give it a B.
Yep, I actually went B-, but anytime you're getting, you know, 40, 45 minutes worth of wrestling in a two-hour show, you're doing pretty well. So I thought SmackDown's a pretty good show. Leads us into Monday Night Raw. Let's go. Let's talk about Raw, man. I don't want to surprise you.
I can't
here.
Even buy into the feigned excitement that you have.
I don't want to surprise you or throw you off or spoil anything for you, but Raw opened with a promo. Probably the best part of the night, I think. It was the Kevin Owens face-to-face one-on-one with the spotlight promo. Kevin Owens pretty much came out, and he didn't touch on Jericho, on the problem with Jericho, until the end. And then he kind of dropped the mic. But before that, he kind of went back to the whole being a badass, who he came out in NXT as, you know, the guy that shorted everybody his way. And he caught a really, really good promo. Now, I was talking to you about it the other day. I was actually folding my laundry. while this promo was on, because it was a little bit early. You know, I got a lot of things to do. I got life. Like, I'm trying to fold laundry, and I'm not watching the TV, and I'm hearing Kevin Owens' words, and to me, it sounded, down to the pronunciation of certain things, like a CM Punk promo. I'm sure Kevin Owens is a fan of CM Punk. I'm sure he's watched his work, but this promo was very reminiscent of the promo that Punk cut several times on The Rock, which isn't a bad thing, but even down to the inflection, it sounded, it was very similar. And being a big CM Punk fan, I like what Kevin Owens took from that. And of course, Kevin Owens is cutting the promo on Goldberg, so adding, I guess, more importance to that match. But you saw a different side of Kevin Owens than, you know, than this joking Chris Jericho lackey that we've seen so far.
Yeah, I guess the interesting thing is to me that so they kind of gave him this more serious edge, right, the last week or two with cutting off Jericho and then now cutting this promo. But it's weird to me that they had him kick Jericho to the curb and now become more serious and potentially, I guess, tease an alignment with Triple H for him to most likely just go in and lose the title to Goldberg relatively quickly at the pay-per-view. So, like, it's like he's had the title for months, and the whole angle of, you know, Jericho helping him every single time, and he got through all these guys. And now all of a sudden he kicks him to the curb, wants to be more serious, maybe launch Triple H, and he's going to probably lose to Goldberg. Something doesn't add up there to me.
I completely agree with you. I was saying the same thing to BK. I was like, Kevin Owens probably has the most heat now that he's had since he's gotten to WWE. Aside from, like, his initial pop, is like, as far as, like, being over as a heel instead of the cool heel that people cheered, Kevin Owens is finally becoming that heel. And I was like, oh, time to lose to 50-year-old Goldberg.
So. Yeah, it's just interesting timing to do all that. Because, like, if he loses, and you're almost like, well, geez, guy, why did you, you know...
Why'd you get rid of Jericho?
Yeah, why'd you get rid of Jericho when he helped you win? He told you he was going to help you retain the title, basically, right? He said that he was going to continue to do that, and then you kick him to the curb. So, I don't know, maybe they'll surprise us and do something different, but all signs point to Goldberg winning and at Fastlane in a week and a half. And then I just feel like it makes Owen look dumb. But
I guess we'll have to see where the whole thing goes with Samoa Joe, too. The number one contenders match, this is a, I don't know, Enzo and Cass defeated Cesaro and Sheamus. On what planet does anybody think that's a good idea?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to, I don't know what their end game is for those tag titles as far as a WrestleMania feud is concerned. If it's going to be like a multi-team match or what they're going to do. Seems like New Day's hosting WrestleMania, so I'm not sure if that means they're not wrestling.
Yeah, I don't think they're not wrestling.
So, which is curious, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, the match was okay. Yeah, Enzo and Cass, I don't think that they are in line to win the titles.
I hope not.
So I would hope that Anderson and Gallows keep it, but we'll see at Fastlane.
That was such a rousing teaser for Fastlane. You know, but why should anybody care about the tag team titles? Because they were won on the pre-show last time.
Yeah.
And Enzo is... I liked Enzo's shtick in NXT, and I think you did too.
Yeah.
But the same thing is with the New Day. You bury it and you shove it down our throats week after week. I don't have to hear the same promo from Enzo every single week. And 9 times out of 10, he's starting off Raw to get the crowd hot. And I understand that, but you got to do something. And there's never any substance to Enzo's promo. You know, it's never like he cuts it on a... He's funny, he's hilarious, he says some funny things. How you doing? Couple haters? You know, stuff like that. And it's funny, but there's never any intention behind it. It's always the same thing. And that's why there was a part at the end of the match when Sheamus brogue kicked Enzo in the face when Enzo was looking. And then the crowd started chanting, a select few of the crowd started chanting, "Thank you, Sheamus."
Yeah, because he was cutting like a kind of a jerkish promo after they won, right? Like he kind of was getting on Cesaro and Sheamus after Cass won the match for them, and then
I think he called them pepperoni nipples,
something like that. Yeah, and then like then Sheamus kicked him in the face, and it's like, all right, well, good. You know, this freaking guy shut his mouth.
So. And then again, who's the heel? Who's the face? You know,
so there's that.
I don't remember Kendrick and Tozawa. What happened?
Nobody does. They never got started. I think Kendrick was trying to like take him under his wing or whatever, and be like his mentor. And
I think Tozawa was older than Kendrick.
Tozawa was not really having that, so I think they ended up. I don't know if they fought on 205 Live. Nobody watches that show. There was a handicap match.
You're on fire tonight, buddy.
Rematch from last week was Roman Reigns against the tag champs, Anderson and Gallows. He lost by DQ in this match, unfortunately for him. I think he... Did he have neck tackle with a chair or something like that? I forget what he did. He did
something illegal. I don't know. I don't watch this shit.
But, wow, that's strong. Bold. I was just happy Anderson and Guy was going to get pinned again 2 weeks in a row. So I'm glad that that didn't happen. Other than that, I think they just don't have anything for... It's weird. Anderson Gallows and Roman both have feuds for Fastlane. Like, they have matches, but they seem to be splitting them off into this whole high, like, separate side thing here, which I'm not really sure why they're doing it. But
can't they just do the typical Anderson wrestles Enzo and Cass wrestles, you know, and Roman? Why are they feuding with? I don't know, man. But can they just beat Roman Reigns for Christ's sake?
They did. They won by DQ. It's in the record books.
It's in the record books. So is Goldberg's streak of 100 billion and 0.
That's right. Until Kevin Nash booked himself to go over
7 seconds or whatever. I hope Asuka beats the record. She's going too soon.
She should.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about New Day beating Jinder Mahal and Handsome Rusev?
I never want to talk about any of these four again.
Okay.
Sorry. I do like Rusev. What are you sticking him with Jinder for? Did Rusev take the pin in this match?
No, Jinder on this one.
Good.
Thank goodness.
Don't hinder Jinder. Jinder my ass, okay?
So we had a couple of women's segments here. Nia Jax defeated a jobber in 22 seconds.
Get me started on this.
This was followed by... So I guess the way that Bayley won the women's title last week was... They wanted to make it come off as somewhat controversial, since Sasha Banks helped her out at the end. But, you know, whatever, Dana Brooke was out there too, so it's no big deal. But they basically
Nobody brought that up in the segment. It was this segment we texted each other at this point. Yeah. I was just so mad. God, I'll shut up now. I've been interrupting you.
No, I'll recap it real quick. So Stephanie came out and was proclaiming that Bayley should give up the title, which is weird because I also thought that I saw Charlotte like tweeted something like she wanted Bayley to give it back to her, so she was almost asking her to give it up, and then they had Stephanie come out and do the segment, which is just, I'm not even going to go down that path. But Bayley teased like she wasn't sure what she was going to do, and Sasha Banks came out and tried to convince her not to give up the title, and eventually Bayley decided she was not going to give up the title. Charlotte then came out at that point, and somehow in all of this, they made another Charlotte versus Sasha Banks match, which started right there. And Sasha Banks beat Charlotte in 10 minutes by submission with the bank statement.
It was okay. Stephanie McMahon is the worst character on television. I've seen bad guys in Law & Order SVU have more chemistry than Stephanie does with anybody.
It's a good show.
I love that show. And the thing is, the broad's like what? 5'7", 5'8", Stephanie?
Probably.
She's wearing like 36-inch heels. She towers over Sasha Banks and Bayley. And I've said this before, and now you're putting her in the ring with Sasha Banks and Bayley. And Sasha Banks and Bayley look like her kids. Like, it's that whole McMahon BS, I'm the best. Yeah, I hear you. I get it. You own the company. You're daddy's girl, and you're banging Hunter who's going to run the company. That's fine. But emasculating is the guy term. What is it? Effeminating? Is that a thing?
Maybe.
Whatever you are.
English, not good.
Hey, go do a handstand, Joe. Tight. So the thing is,
confused about that.
You're making these girls look insignificant by comparison to you. Meanwhile, like, in a shoot, they would both kick your ass regardless of how tall they are. I get it, you're up at 12 o'clock in the morning and you're doing kettlebell swings on your Instagram. That's cool. That's all well and good, but, like, you're not a talent. You are one of the owners of the company, and you are an on-screen suit, for lack of a better term. So you don't need to be there towering over these two girls looking like you're better than them, you're bigger than them, and stand next to Nia Jax for all I care. That's fine.
She's not like most girls.
She is not like most girls. But the problem is it's probably going to be the same continuing trend where nobody's going to be able to one up Stephanie. You know, nobody's going to be able to get over on her, and she's cutting Mick Foley's sack off every week. You know, it's just It's so there's no end game in sight for her to get her comeuppance, if you will, or as you call it, the insider term, her receipt. Nobody's gonna get a receipt on her. So, just the way she undermines all of her talent is, I guess, the way. I mean, and it's not only happening on screen. You know, I'm sure it's happening off screen too, is what I've heard. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you don't have to convince me, man.
No, you're the most anti-Stephanie person, and I defended her for how long? I admit it. I wasn't bashing her forever, but what she's doing to these girls, it's terrible.
I'm with you, man.
I'm off my soapbox, buddy.
It's all good. So we had, they made a Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn match. So that was up next, and during Sammy's entrance, right? He was attacked by Samoa Joe. Joe beat the crap out of him. Then they ended up starting the match anyway, and Sammy was pretty well beaten down by that point. So Owens beat him in about a minute with the pop-up powerbomb. So it wasn't really, obviously it was only a minute or so long, so it wasn't an extensive match or anything. It was more of an angle, I guess, to set up what will likely be Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn at the Fastlane show in a couple weeks. So, I mean, I don't know. It was what it was. I mean, Owens didn't have to do a whole heck of a lot. They're kind of maybe potentially tying things together for if Owens and Joe were both aligned with Triple H at some point down the line here. But that was really it. I don't know. Did you have any like strong feelings about this one way or the other? I mean, it was kind of just there for me.
I'm a big fan of Samoa Joe. I'm a big fan of his character. Do you think there has to be an end in sight for Sami Zayn to get some sort of receipt on these guys? Or is he just going to be the guy that kind of gets his ass kicked every week?
I think he's going to be the guy that gets his ass kicked every week. It's going to be a little while before I would think it's going to be a little while before anybody gets anything over on Samoa Joe, at least the way they've made him look so far.
And that's the way he absolutely should, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to say it sucks to be Sami Zayn, but he's first Braun and now Samoa Joe, and he's just that lovable underdog, I guess, but we'll see what happens. And the main event was Braun Strowman and The Big Show. You heard that right, Braun Strowman and The Big Show, and they had a pretty decent big man match. I'm not gonna hate on it. I thought it was it was good for what it was. The ending was a little bit botched when Big Show went to do the big splash off the rope, and Braun was supposed to catch him and do the running power slam. Listen, you can't hate on Braun and Big Show for botching that spot. The fact that they even tried it, I give him credit for. But Braun was able to muscle up Big Show twice and hit him with the power slam. I mean, it wasn't as clean as he would have liked it to be, but I thought the match was really good for what it was.
Yeah, I mean, for what it was fine. I mean, it was longer than I expected it to be. But, I mean, the idea really, I think, is just to get, you know, give Strowman another win, which they did. You know, and that's fine. They had Roman come out at the end, obviously, and I don't think he, you know, did he? I think Braun ended up kind of turning him away, right? Is that how it ended? I'm pretty sure. I know Reigns was kind of going after him, but
he hit him with like five Superman punches.
Yeah, let me see real quick here. I guess how it.
Braun hit the Superman. Yeah,
he hit the Superman punch, but then Braun drop kicked him when he was going for the spear.
And right. That's what.
So Braun fought him off after he won. So that's what I thought. So they put Braun over pretty good.
Probably going to be bad news for Braun at a Fastlane.
Maybe.
I guess we'll see what happens when it comes to Fastlane. We could do that prediction show, but I mean, just looking at the show as a whole, Enzo and Cass, was that
A plus? There you going?
No, tell me if you've seen these before. Enzo and Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus, New Day versus Rusev and Jinder, Sasha versus Charlotte, Owens versus Zayn. Like, there are so, like, I was watching Survivor Series, I think it was 87 or 88, and they had the 10 team tag. You have a one-hour show. Back in 1987, you have a one-hour show once a week with tapings like 6 months in advance. And how did you get people to buy in and care about 10 different tag teams in 1987? And now, in 2017, you're recycling the same matches week after week after week after week.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've thought about stuff like this, too.
It's a different time.
It's a very different formula. You know, like back then, all those 1 hour shows, right? Like the Superstars and Challenge and all that stuff, like the Saturday and Sunday for an hour. The bulk of those shows really was, you know, teams or individual wrestlers beating jobbers, right? Like, that's how all these guys
got. Yeah, the main event would be like Ronnie Garvin versus Greg Valentine, yeah. You know, and then it'd be like a Nia Jax match or something like
that. Right, and like most of it was just like squash matches. So like that's when you get to the pay-per-views or the bigger events or even the house shows back then, which probably drew better than the house shows draw today.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you saw guys that had won all these matches on TV and they never lost. You know, like Ted DiBiase is an example player. Like, he came in, he won all these matches on TV just against jobbers or whatever, and then all of a sudden he was feuding with Hulk Hogan. You know, like, that's... So these guys all had credibility, and they all became stars. Like, so all these teams, like you mentioned, they all these teams probably won all these matches against jobber teams on TV for, like, months and months and months, and then they finally put them on pay-per-view, and it's like, oh, now all these teams that won all these matches are facing each other. Now that they have, like, I don't even know how many hours of TV a week between Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, NXT, 205 Live... two pay-per-views a month and all that stuff, these teams are overexposed. And like, you know, and especially with the brand split, you've got like five teams on one show. You know, you can just, I mean, if you put Enzo and Cass over every week, who are they beating every week? They can end up beating the same teams, right? Like Shining Stars and whatever it is. There's not enough depth, I guess. And like with so much TV, it's hard to make me care about, like, I'm sure these teams just alternate wins every other week. And I can't even remember any of it because it's all just, you know,
right.
It just goes into, you know, white noise after a while. So it's, not Sheamus's move, you know what I mean?
Nice.
So, I think that's the difference. Like, I wish they could go back to that. And NXT is kind of a little bit like that, right? Where you can
NXT have these guys. NXT is absolutely like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more effective, I think. That way, when you get to pay-per-view and it's Bobby Roode against Ty Dillinger, and you're like, oh, wow, these guys have been kind of feuding, and they've won some matches, and, like, you know, they're actual stars, and, like, then they face each other, and people are into it, as opposed to, like, you know, any of the stuff that you just mentioned here, right, for Raw, yeah. Where these teams face each other a dozen times, and you've seen it already.
Yeah, and I was watching, you know, and talking about what you're saying, like, you, when you're building these teams up and they're beating they're in squash matches beating, you know, jobbers and stuff like that. I think it was Fabulous Rougeaus versus the British Bulldogs, right? And there were two teams that really hadn't lost much, and they went 15 to 18 minutes, no, it was like 25 minutes actually, in an opening match, and it was competitive. And it was fine, and it was competitive, and one team lost and one team won. But the team that lost didn't lose anything by it, and the team that won it meant a lot because you hadn't seen this team lose so much. So I don't know if there's another formula that they could do now. Probably not, with the overexposure, like you said, except for, you know, start bringing on... You can get rid of half of these matches and give them a little more time, so that way people are going to care a little bit more. I don't know. I really don't know what to do, but I'll tell you, watching Raw week in and week out is really tough for me to do. And it's not, and yes, it's a 3-hour show, but I can watch SmackDown every single week, you know, because they do different things and they only have 3 or 4 matches. SmackDown has 3 matches a week. Raw has 1 extra hour. And they have 7, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they have 8 matches. So how come SmackDown can fit 3 good matches in 2 hours and Raw fits 8 matches in 3 hours and 20 minutes and half these matches aren't even 2 minutes long?
I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know, the different writing teams or whoever's booking these shows or what they want to do. Yeah, I don't know.
I've read something that says they have 31 writers right now.
That sounds right. 31. As far as I know, they have like a writing team, right? That's how, there's no bookers really, right? It's the writing teams.
And you have the agents, but the writing team, one guy's got one view, another guy's got the other view. What do you, meet in the middle?
I guess, and as far as I know, everything still runs through Vince as far as what gets put on the show, right?
Oh, so good.
Somebody will write a show.
Cool. Let's do another incest everything. Angle or something,
yeah.
Fun.
Well, know? Yeah. But,
yeah. His way.
C. I give it a C.
I give it a C minus.
So what do we want to do? You want to do top 5?
Well, how much time we got left? What are we looking at? We're probably running pretty long here. I think I've been long-winded today.
Yeah, we should probably do top 5.
We're skipping.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about? 5 count is what I meant.
Thank you.
Nobody between, knows what I meant when I said...
Why don't you say top 5 while you're doing a handstand? You come out as a 5 count.
Okay.
It's going to be a new thing, huh?
I can't wait to do this handstand now.
Can we... Do we even... We're not talking... Are you going to do the handstand? Are we doing a handstand right now? I will Facebook
live. I was going to get some water while you play the drop for the 5 count. That was what I was going to do.
I feel like you're taking people behind the curtain. As we were saying, it is the return of everybody's favorite segment, the 5 count. And this week, the Stallion himself and myself, the Enforcer, what we're going to do is we're going to give you the top 5 most underrated wrestlers in the game today. Now, underrated is a relative term. What's underrated? Are they good wrestlers who are not getting their due? Or are they guys that, you know, you don't appreciate, or they like main event guys you don't appreciate really the wrestling ability. That's subjective. You could really kind of do whatever you want with it. So, do you want to start it? Do you have notes? I took notes.
I mean, it's all in the, you know, in the noggin here, so hopefully okay. I can remember the five people that I came up with.
All right, so why don't you kick it off? We'll snake it back. You go five, I'll go 5-4, you go 4-3, I'll go back.
Okay. I put The Miz at number 5 on my list because I felt like he improved. I know we talked to, like, when we did our year-end awards about how he improved last year. I used to hate him pretty bad years ago. And I kind of appreciate his work a little bit more now, and I think that his matches are usually pretty good. And I don't think it's necessarily all just the guys he's in the ring with. So I think he's had good matches against several different guys on SmackDown since he's been over there. Obviously, he had a long feud with Ziggler in the last year, and he's fought Styles several times. He's fought Ambrose several times. He's fought Cena. So I think, you know, as far as a wrestler and a worker goes, he's definitely improved his game, and I feel like he's, you know, in the top half of guys on SmackDown as far as being able to wrestle matches. And obviously, he's always been a good talker. So I think, you know, for me, it was for a long time, I didn't really think much of him. So I think that's why I put him on my list at number 5.
His kicks suck, but I agree with you. And you know what I like about The Miz, too? We don't have much time, so I don't want to go off on it. But he follows the heel formula in matches to a T. And I think it's great at what he does. For me, number 5, it's one that's been said for years. Cesaro. You know, he's getting his due with Sheamus in a tag team, but he's still, with what he's capable of in the ring and what people know he's capable of, he's not being used the way he should, frankly. And he's trying to grab that brass ring, buddy. For me, number 4, Davey Richards. He had just come back to TNA, and he's been working a program with Eddie Edwards. It's fresh. But as far as what Davey Richards is capable of in the ring and what he did as Ring of Honor champion, this guy doesn't get talked about nearly as much as he should. He doesn't get the, you know, his just due right now. So, and I know he said he's only got like a year or two left in him as his career. So I think Davey Richards is going to be a guy that I'm personally going to miss.
That's funny, actually, because the 4th person on my list was Eddie Edwards. That's interesting that you said you had Davey Richards there, too.
Both great wrestlers. I love them both.
Yeah, I put Edwards on because I was trying to think just across, like, different, obviously the different promotions and the brands and all that type of stuff. And so I thought about, like, TNA. I'm like, all right, who in TNA do I feel like is underrated and stuff like that? And I put Edwards on there because he just had a, you know, not a long run as the champion there, but he had a couple months. But most of those matches that he had been pretty good. I mean, I know he fought Lashley several times.
And Lashley, no offense, is not a great worker.
Right, you know? Yeah, I mean, he's kind of... I think he's gotten better, but he's not necessarily like like an elite worker or anything like that. But, you know.
Oh, like Kenny Omega, the elite? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Okay.
Not Kenny Omega and his perm. So I put Edwards in there at 4.
Dick.
What? That's funny. And I think, like you said, the feud with Richards is going to be good. I think that it's obviously got a lot of personal animosity and heat to it. So, yeah, I for all those same reasons, I put him at number 4. Number 3, I had Johnny Gargano because I think that obviously those tag matches he's had last year were great. Him and Ciampa against the Revival and you know several of the teams that they faced in NXT. But just as a wrestler, like we've seen him several times. I think when he was in Evolve and he's been in PWG and done a lot of singles matches there. He's just a really good in-ring. Wrestler, especially when he's a babyface, which I don't know if he's ever been a heel, but most of the time we've seen him, he's been a babyface. So I think he's just a really good you know, in-ring wrestler. A lot of his matches have these innovative spots and sequences and things like that. And I hope that he gets an opportunity to, you know, eventually work as a single, whether it's, I guess, on 205 Live or wherever they're going to put him.
Oh,
but
God. I hope not.
I think he's a guy that I really like. I enjoy watching in the ring. So I put him at number 3.
He's also really good looking. And he's married to Candice LeRae. So he's really got it all going for him. Mm. Love me some Johnny Gargano. Number 3, I went with Naito. Naito is a guy that will consistently give you fantastic matches, but he's never mentioned in that same breath as Tanahashi, as Okada, as an Omega, as a John Cena, you know, as an AJ Styles. But he's right up there. I don't know if it's because of his look, because he's got that weird hair, or he had that that weird gimmick before LIJ, Los Ingobernables de Japón. But as far as an in-ring guy, man, Naito is fantastic, and I feel like he never really just gets at his just due. That was my number three. Mm. So my number two, I'm willing to wager this guy's on your list. I'm going to say his name.
Okay. I mean, then, I only got two left, so I don't. And I think one of them you're going to be very surprised by. So okay. Let's say, okay, what do you got?
Jay Lethal. Is he on your list?
No.
Jay Lethal. Ring of Honor world champ for 1,500 years. He's been in there with everybody in Ring of Honor. He's had a long career. Actually, I was watching the Ring of Honor Trios 2006 pay-per-view, and he had a team of Bryan Danielson. So, Jay Lethal, he's got a really good moveset. He knows how to work, and he's had fantastic matches with everybody. So, and he's a guy, when you talk about Ring of Honor, he doesn't, for some reason, there's a little bit of a disconnect with him, I feel like, and especially with the whole Cody Rhodes thing, I think he'll get a really good match out of Cody Rhodes. So I'm interested now. One guy I'm not going to guess. Go ahead.
Yeah. So number two on my list, I had Bob Fish.
I could hug you, buddy. I could hug you right now.
I think, obviously he was in the Red Dragon tag team for a while. That's really, I think, as far as Ring of Honor was concerned, where he kind of, made a name for himself doing that stuff. But since he was that team, they didn't really officially split up until just recently. But
it was never an official split.
Yeah.
They're on a break. Okay,
all right. So they ended up moving into more singles action, right? And O'Reilly was more focused on Cole and the world title, and Fish was obviously had the TV title for a while. But I thought he did a really good job with it when he had it. I wasn't sure that he would be a believable singles champion, especially. Ring of Honor usually treats their titles pretty seriously as opposed to some other promotions. So I wasn't sure if he'd be able to do it, but I thought he did a really good job with it when he had it. He had a lot of good matches. I thought he's a very good promo. Usually, I think now, if you're watching a show for Ring of Honor or you're at a show and there's a Bobby Fish match, for me personally, I expect it to be good. Yep. And something that I look forward to. So I think that's why I don't know that everybody nationally would know that if you don't watch him every week. So I think that's why I think he's an underrated guy. So I put him at number two.
I would also say he's very consistent.
Yeah.
His matches, and you made a really good point about his TV title run. Nobody ever expected him to beat Ishii for the title. And when he submitted Ishii, the pop he got was awesome. And I'm proud to know you. And put my man Bob in that
place. We've gone full circle on this podcast.
We really have.
30 minutes ago, you flipped me off, and now you're proud to be.
Did you come up with him while you were doing a headstand?
No.
Okay.
I'm very focused when I do that stuff, just so you know.
All right, who's number one? Give it to me.
So this guy I've been a fan of for a really long time.
Shawn Michaels. Did you put Shawn Michaels on the list?
No, he's not.
Damn it.
Come on now. I've watched this guy. I've been a fan of him for a really long time. He's been in tag teams where I think his tag teams are really good.
I'm literally on the edge of my seat. I gotta shut up.
Anticipation. And let you talk. Go ahead. And then he broke into a singles career, and he did very well there. And he's been I think his matches are. I can see the anticipation you're waiting for. You're gonna be very disappointed when I come up with the name because you're not expecting probably who this is gonna be. But. Now he's kind of towards the end of his career, unfortunately, or at least the latter part of his career, and he's not necessarily being used as much as well as he should have. But
Jack Swagger.
No. Jack Swagger.
We should have a segment where I just guess who this is.
James Storm is who I had as the guy that's very underrated on my list because he's been in all these great tag teams. He's been in America's Most Wanted. He's been in Beer Money. Those are two of the best tag teams probably the last decade and a half. He was TNA champion for a brief time, and he was kind of in a main event level spot there for a while. He turned heel. I thought he had a really good character in TNA when he turned heel. I know he didn't really have prominent feuds. I think he was feuding with Gunner and stuff like that. But
that bar fight.
Yeah. So I think he's really good. And even recently, last year, he had that match with Lashley where he almost won the title on Impact. And
We were marking out for that.
I just think his matches are really good and his character is really good. And I like his moveset. And I think he's just been a consistent, really good worker over the last decade or decade and a half. And he's not, again, probably somebody that is so widely known as a top-tier wrestler. But I feel like he is. So that's why I had him on the list.
Listen, I don't hate that. And actually, the guy that I put on my list, his career almost mimics to a T. James Storm. Any guesses? Who's my guy?
Tyler Breeze.
Son of a shit, did you look at my notes?
Fandango.
No. Okay. Any guesses? Very similar career to James Storm. Was in tag teams, went off by himself, was champion. Doesn't get talked about as much as he should.
What promotion is he?
Come on, you didn't give me the promotion.
You didn't ask.
He's not not WWE.
I don't know. I'd just be guessing. I don't really know.
Shot in the dark. I think you know me. I think you got this.
Is it Kyle O'Reilly?
No, it should be. Well, it matters to me, Joe. No, it's actually Jay Briscoe.
Okay.
When you think about Jay Briscoe and James Storm, they're both part of a tag team for a very long time. They both went on their own, had the title. Jay Briscoe, for some reason, doesn't get talked about as much as he was in the PWI Top 500. It was last year, and he was ranked top 10.
Was he? I want to say that he was.
Yeah, and he had that amazing run of Ring of Honor where he didn't get pinned. And as far as in matches go, first of all, Jay Briscoe, you talk about the look of a champion. That dude has the look. He looks like he was in a biker gang and he was bit by like a boar that ingested mushrooms from Chernobyl. Because that's the thing going on right now in Russia. And he's kind of got that, I'm in a biker gang, but I'm insanely yoked and I have a look in my eye like I might kill you. And that sells tickets, man. And Jay Briscoe, he still teams with his brother Mark Briscoe. They're still a fantastic. We just saw him against the Young Bucks. It was a great match. So he does the tag team and the singles thing. But his single run that he had, it pissed me off because the fans kind of started turning against him at some point because he had like the John Cena treatment. But the guy's been in Ring of Honor since I was in high school, and he's been consistent throughout. And he's one of the guys that could have went to other companies and stayed in Ring of Honor. Because they have a very lucrative chicken farm, you know, Sussex County Chicken, so good for them. But B, because they, I don't know, I guess they're just true to Ring of Honor, but everybody that's come and gone, they've kind of gone through Jay Briscoe. And I don't think you're ever going to see him in WWE. You think that's fair?
Probably. I think
they had their option, you know, they could have. But, you know, and like you said, as far as his moveset goes, he's got the best neck breaker in the business. For my money, he's got the best finisher in the business right now. And he's just a really, really good, consistent worker, whether it be singles or tags. So for me, it's Jay Briscoe. Yeah. Do you have anybody in your honorable mentions?
No, that took me a little while to come up with today. So I don't know if I won't say that I struggled, but it took me some time to weed through everything and come up with a
five. Did you think of any of the guys I mentioned?
So what'd you have? You had Briscoe, Lethal, Naito, Richards. I thought of Richards.
You did.
I considered Richards. I had Richards and Edwards. I was thinking of those guys. I think I picked Edwards just because Richards had been out for a little while.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, both of those guys, obviously, I think are good. Who is your fifth person?
Lethal, Naito, Briscoe, Edwards. I don't remember. We literally just did this. Hold on.
You got notes, right?
I know. Cesaro.
Oh, Cesaro. Yeah. So. I didn't think of him. But I usually tend to forget about him anytime I come to the list. So.
Isn't that? Okay.
I guess maybe that's
And there it is. There's the underrated. Yeah. So next week, we're setting the tone here for the top five. Next week, we're going to give you our top five.
I don't know what that is.
You were calling top five. Didn't we change it?
No.
You said it was a top five countdown.
No. Five count.
Yeah, you're right. So next week, our top five. Yeah, that's right. I'm saying it. No. On the five count next week, what we're going to do is we're going to give you the most overrated people in the business. I'm not going to say that I already know two of Joe's five.
It's up, yeah.
Can we not put
no.
Dean Ambrose and Kenny Omega? Because people obviously know that you feel they're overrated.
But it won't be a factual list if I don't include the guys that I feel overrated.
Okay, asterisk. I want five other guys. I want to hear your opinion on five because I know how you feel about Ambrose and Omega. You know what my favorite part of this list was? Not knowing who you were going to put on there and then hearing you explain it because I value your opinion because you're WrestlePedia, man.
Okay. If I exclude them from my list,
yes.
Can I still go on a rant about why I feel they're overrated on the show?
No, because we've done that every week for the last 6 weeks.
We haven't done that. I only mentioned his perm to this week. That was about it. I didn't even get any deeper than that. So
I'm not... You know what? I hope he wins. I hope he somehow beats Adam Cole tomorrow night at Honor Rising. Just a really, really step in
your...
Okay,
so now you're back to hating me again. Yeah. This is good.
You know what, Joe? Go do a handstand, right?
This is my own home. That's true. I do handstands wherever I want in this house, all right,
man? What are you doing on a boardwalk?
On a boardwalk? I don't have a boardwalk in this house.
Tight. What am I for? All right. We got a lot in this week. We talked about Ring of Honor. We talked about NXT. We talked about Raw. We talked about SmackDown. What is it, like an hour and 45-minute show?
Something like that.
Before we leave, we want to remind you, you could find us in a plethora of places. You could find us at facebook.com/allnightlongwp. You could find us on Twitter, on Instagram, @allnightlongwp. You could find us on Spreaker at spreaker.com/show/ANLWP. I mean, how many more places we got to be?
I don't know, man. It's a lot.
And if you happen to be out there, let's say you listen to this podcast and you say, hey, I work for Ring of Honor, or I work for TNA, or I work for WWE. You know what I want to do? I want to talk to those two guys on their show. You could do that because we got an email. What's that email? It's allnightlongwp@yahoo.com.
It's true.
Send us questions. We have a mailbag now. Let's get a mailbag.
Sure, mailbag.
Mailbag. Email Joe and ask him why he doesn't love Kenny Omega as much as he should.
Sure. I'd love to talk about it.
Yeah. You could write a thesis, a 28-page paper on that.
Let's do it.
But so next week, like I said, we're going to have the five count, top five most overrated wrestlers. We're going to actually, next week will be the Fastlane preview.
Next week will be the Fastlane preview, and we're going to be going to Ring of Honor next Saturday. So we talk a little bit about that.
I'm excited, man. It's too long. A couple of guys sit in front row. You'd be like the hat guy in the Howard Stern, like the ECW arena. So, got anything else? We're done this week, right? We hit everything. We had to. We've been talking for hours.
It was action-packed, and we actually delivered on what we said we were going to do this week, so I feel pretty good about that.
It's the first time I've done that. And you were asleep an hour and a half ago.
Who knew? That's true. I did take a nap 15 minutes before.
For the Stallion, I'm the Enforcer, and as always, we're tapping out.